Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
And away we go. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's welcome in former NFL defensive lineman. Now you can listen to him for a while on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, along with our friend Sean Pendergast. And that, of course, is Seth Payne, kind enough to join us once again on the show. Seth, appreciate it as always. How you been, my man?
I'm good. It's been kind of crazy around here. The Texans free agency period started very, very, very slow. There was one signing while all the big names were going off the board. Lonnie Johnston came back to the Texans, and nobody knew what to make of it. And then all of a sudden, day two, it was just an absolute flurry. So it's been exciting. It's been exciting. A little bit weird, but also exciting.
Yeah, so it's always funny whenever we bring you on. There was a 2 or 3 year stretch where every time we brought you on, it was just so negative. It was so ugly. It was so nasty with the Texans. And then that one draft last year changed the entire perception of the franchise, getting C.J. Stroud, getting Will Anderson Jr. And the Texans had a marvelous season this past year. And now there's like actually legitimate buzz and respect for what the Texans have been able to do.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's always hard to say how much that's going to matter when it comes to free agency, because for the most part, the big name guys go where the money is. The first hint that we saw that things might be a lot different now in terms of recruiting players is that Danielle Hunter is from the Houston area. He's from Katy, Texas, went to high school here, and was home during the Texans playoff game versus the Browns. And then he talked about it in the press conference today. He kind of felt the energy and excitement. And as a guy that grew up in Houston and knows and has heard about D'Amico Ryans and obviously C.J. Stroud, I think that the Texans were perhaps able to get him on a deal that maybe he wouldn't have done for somebody else. It's a 2-year deal. I mean, it's a boatload of guaranteed money. $48 million of the $49 million is guaranteed. However, I do feel like that glow between D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud, and everything else probably had a little something to do with Danielle Hunter being available.
It's weird to say it because he's been in the league since 2015 and he has 87.5 career sacks. But for some reason, the name Danielle Hunter just doesn't resonate nationally when we know how great of a player he is. It feels like this is the most underrated signing so far of the offseason period, even though, like, anyone that actually watches football knows the impact of a Danielle Hunter.
Right. And, you know, the Vikings took on Jonathan Greenard, and I like Jonathan Greenard, but Greenard came from the Texans up there, and it almost ends up being like a swap of pass rushers. Jonathan Greenard has youth on his side, and I think he's got a whole lot of upside. But if you look at Danielle Hunter and where he is now and what he's done, you know, each of his last four seasons when healthy, he's been pretty much like twice as effective as Jonathan Greenard in terms of QB pressures, sacks, everything else. He's that established, and he looks like he's still very much in his prime. That's where the two-year contract was really intriguing to me, because I think Caserio, you know, you talk about taking advantage of the of that window where you have your rookie quarterback on his rookie contract, or your quarterback on his rookie contract. The Texans have spent, at least as of this morning, about the seventh most money in the NFL, but they're right up in the top two or three when it comes to money paid in the first couple of years. So they're just, they've got these 2 and 3 year contracts. They're paying a lot of money up front, and without hopefully having the risk on the backside of some of these guys that are in their 30s, you're taking advantage of this window where CJ Stroud is so cheap.
We know the player Danielle Hunter is. We also know what Will Anderson can be, and he started to show that towards the end of the season. Bringing in a Danielle Hunter does what for an impact with Will Anderson?
I think, you know, in terms of maturity or anything else like that, like Will Anderson is there. He doesn't need like some older guy to put his arm around him. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like not to say, so there is a lot for Will Anderson to learn, but he's certainly not one of these guys that needs to grow up a little or something. Like Danielle Hunter's probably, he might get annoyed with Will Anderson and how much like Will Anderson asks questions of him and everything. Like Will Anderson is just, he's a sponge. He just wants to take it all in. And the one big thing that Will figured out about midway through the season was how to finish on sacks. Cause he was winning pass rushes. You know, he was getting double teamed a lot. He was getting pressures, but he wasn't getting the quarterback on the ground. And he really started to figure out exactly how to finish. If you look at Danielle Hunter, like Danielle Hunter is really the opposite in a lot of ways of a guy that was here, Jadeveon Clowney, because Clowney would win a lot of pass rushes, but he has a hard time in those last two steps getting the quarterback on the ground. He's just kind of stiff when he gets there. Danielle Hunter's the opposite. Like he's Gumby when he gets to the quarterback, and you know, he can like be blocking the pass lane with his right hand while like wrapping the quarterback with his left hand. And I think that's the kind of thing that Will Anderson really needs to focus on, because he's such an excitable guy. Like he's so hyper in a good way, but man, when you get excited about sacking the quarterback, it's sometimes the worst thing in the world, because you get there and like I missed a sack on Brett Favre once that it still haunts me to this very day, because I got so excited and I just tried to gun at him as hard as I could, and he took a little sidestep and had like a 30-yard completion. Like Will's had a couple like that, and I think being around Danielle Hunter is going to help him a lot.
Talking to Seth Payne right now. When we get to C.J. Stroud, I think already he's the fifth best quarterback in football. I look at the Texans going into the season as a Super Bowl contender. How far are you willing to go with C.J. and this group heading into this season?
This really all hinges on the running game to me. And yeah, I know in the modern NFL it shouldn't matter that much, except that in this offense, they've been so effective with the play action. And you know, you don't have to run the ball effectively to set up the play action. You know, like linebackers will still bite as long as you're committed to the run. And that's what the Texans did last year. They were committed to the run, and because of that, they got people to bite on the play action. But the problem was that too many times they were getting stuffed on first and 10 and second and 10. So yeah, the play action was working, except they were having to cover way too much ground to make up for the bad rushing attack. Joe Mixon hopefully should make a difference. You know, Devin Singletary did a great job in the second half of last season, but it was also the first season in which Devin Singletary had ever had more than 200 carries. And, you know, I don't think you can run Devin Singletary like that for an entire season, whereas Joe Mixon is built for that. You know, when he's been healthy, he's getting 200-plus carries in a season. And I think also as D'Amico starts to spread the ball maybe to the running backs more, Mixon just, I think, any more reliable three down back than Singletary was. But Singletary did do a great job for us.
Talking to Seth Payne. So CJ Stroud, it's weird for a talk show host to usually say that someone had a flawless season, because yeah, we always usually find like a thing or two that people could really chew on and criticize. But he was just so sensational. Using your defensive brain here, is there anything you see that maybe teams will catch up on with C.J. Stroud that they could, I don't want to say expose him, but maybe slow him down or have a sophomore slump in your number two?
You know, it's a really good question, because you follow the rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks through all of that, and you kind of each step along the way figure out, okay, what are teams throwing at him, and when is he going to overcome this? You know, Deshaun Watson, when he was here, the safety and corner blitzes were an issue for the first couple of years. Some of the disguise blitzes were an issue. And CJ saw that really around like the Jaguars game, or maybe like week three or four of the season this year. He saw defenses start to try to really bait him as a rookie and show some of the disguised looks. They realized that they couldn't just be vanilla versus him. And he kind of just figured it out over the course of a few games. You know, early on, he was not throwing any interceptions whatsoever. And really, he had a long stretch of not taking sacks either. And it got to the point almost where he was so good at being careful and getting rid of the ball quickly that he self-adjusted and realized he had to be a little bit riskier sometimes. You know, he had to take chances with the football. He had to hold on to the ball a little bit longer. He started taking a few more sacks. But all of that's been really good. The ugliest performance of the season, you know, after he came back from his injury was the Baltimore Ravens game. And going back and watching that game, it really was all about interior pressure from the defensive line, from the Ravens. And there wasn't really a lot he could do standing in the pocket. So I think for him, a lot of the rudimentary stuff, or at least the base level stuff, he's figured out. I think the next step for him is, now that he's established himself, becoming that true taskmaster as a quarterback. You know, whether it's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I don't know if you heard Tyreek Hill telling the story about Pat Mahomes cussing out the whole team a few years ago. I think that's like, I hate to say that a quarterback has to cuss out his team ever, because I don't think you have to.
It's part of it, though.
But yeah, yeah.
There's always a moment where you guys got to say, guys, let's get our bleep together. Let's go.
Right. No matter how you go about it, I think he was very, very careful about being deferential to veteran players last year. And, you know, he never lacked for confidence or anything, but he also knew that he had to earn people's respect.
Well, now he knows he's the man, right? Yeah, that's his franchise now. It's him on the offense side of the ball and Will Anderson on the defensive side of the ball.
Right, yeah. And I think that when it comes to, like, taking real, like, not just ownership, I think he takes ownership of it already, but, yeah, understanding that, you know, Tom Brady, honestly, I think one of the best things Tom Brady did as a quarterback, because I've watched him, I got to watch him in practice a few times. Mm-hmm. He might have been the best receivers coach in the NFL. And, you know, demanding so much attention to detail from those guys and knowing that they're going to adjust to passes and coverages and everything else the way he wants them to. I mean, that was half of the secret with him. The other stuff's the pre-snap recognition. So, like, and I think the biggest obstacle that CJ's overcome that some rookie quarterbacks don't is, like, he knows that there's things that he doesn't know, and he's wide open to learning them. And that's the fun part about watching him. There's stuff placed in front of him and he figures it out.
I don't know if Will Levis, as we're talking to Seth Payne, is going to be a successful starting quarterback, but I like what Tennessee has done the last two off seasons, getting DeAndre Hopkins. Even if you're overpaying for Calvin Ridley, you bring in Tony Pollard. They're putting enough around him to get a fair evaluation. How did you process the deal yesterday? Calvin Ridley, $92 million over 4 years, $50 million guaranteed, winded up in Tennessee.
I feel like, you know, that's kind of the proven strategy at this point, isn't it? At the very least, if you want to find out if a guy is viable, then give him a really good weapon. Now, Calvin Ridley is not A.J. Brown. Ironically enough, you know, like, he could have been thrown to A.J. Brown. He's not Tyreek Hill.
Vrabel's still cursing out John Robinson over that one.
Yeah. But you've got to have some semblance of talent to throw to really figure out what you have in a guy. A thing I'll say about watching Will Levis is the kid's, like, he might be too gutsy for his own good, man. Like, he took some hits playing the Texans that I got to hand it to him for getting up and keeping going. He got the first time they played this year, I think he got sacked 7 times. So, like, he's tough. And I think he shows a lot of courage standing in and making some of the throws he does. For him, a lot of it is going to be getting on the same page with Calvin Ridley. And I'm fascinated to watch that, because in Jacksonville, you know, you'd hear from different people that either Trevor Lawrence wasn't picking up things and he was a first-read quarterback, or that part of the problem was that Calvin Ridley and some of the other receivers weren't where they were supposed to be and they weren't on the same page. So I think you can almost start to figure out, all right, was it a Trevor Lawrence problem or was it a Calvin Ridley problem? And not that he was awful in Jacksonville or anything, but he'll be working with another young quarterback now and see if he can be more of a bomb for him than he was for Trevor Lawrence.
Do you think the concerns last year with Jacksonville, them regressing, will carry over into this year? Or do you see them turn it around and get him back to where they were in the first year of Doug Peterson being their head coach?
The thing that I'm trying to figure out, there's two things. One is, all right, I don't know if Gabe Davis is the guy that's the guy. I think he would have been a nice compliment to Calvin Ridley. So we'll see exactly how Gabe Davis is incorporated into it. And then the other side of it with Trevor Lawrence was, I mean, he was just banged up like the entire season. Even when the Jaguars caught him the second time around, he looked like he was healthy for the first time. He was moving around a lot more, and it was a much more effective Trevor Lawrence. And then he had like two more big injuries after that. So I think with some of the setback there, it might be as simple as Trevor Lawrence was banged up. And, you know, obviously quarterbacks can't be using that as an excuse always and forever. But it might have been a valid excuse last year.
If you had the first pick tomorrow in the draft, let's just say, and the two options were C.J. Stroud or Trevor Lawrence, which one would you take?
Oh, well, C.J. Stroud. I'm biased, but that's also kind of easy right now. The thing I wonder about with Trevor Lawrence is, you know, he doesn't – everything looks like a little bit like methodical, almost too methodical sometimes because he's a long-limbed guy. And I think sometimes for somebody like that where he can't quite just snap it at will, that you got to really be nails with everything else because he's going to have to be predetermined a little bit and make his decisions that much faster. So sometimes with somebody like that, the learning curve is also going to be a little bit longer. It's not that he's not smart or anything, but he also, like, he came out of a Clemson offense that's incredibly simplistic compared to like an Ohio State offense. So what C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or a lot of these other guys have done in college, it's just way more advanced than what you saw with Trevor Lawrence. And then Trevor Lawrence basically, you know, didn't get any advancement or any real tutelage in his rookie year either. So I feel like he's a little bit behind the curve for reasons that aren't necessarily his own fault. But I've seen too much of the really good Trevor Lawrence to think that somehow, you know, there's not that potential in him to be an upper echelon guy.
Last thing I'll ask you, I kind of unintentionally went viral yesterday. Because
did you?
Yeah, it regards the Texans too.
Oh, that's right. No, I know this. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Tell me.
So I was sitting here and I'm like, it's weird that Justin Jefferson doesn't have the contract. It's either because they're not seeing eye to eye with the contract and what he's worth, or he's waiting to see what the quarterback is. And I said I would set a deadline if I'm Justin Jefferson. And if you don't get the deal done, then I would request a trade to the Houston Texans. I didn't think it was polarizing, but from a lot of Texans fans, it's been split where some say, yeah, you got to do it. Others say, oh, no, you can't give up all those draft capital, then give them a contract like that. I was surprised on the back end of that from Texans fans.
I mean, the idea is so enticing to be just like super loaded when you have you've got both a you'd have a Tank Dell, you'd have Nico Collins, and then, Justin Jefferson.
You guys
no
went from the
deal.
Outhouse to the penthouse now. I'm saying Justin Jefferson should go to the Texans. It shows you how good of a spot they're in moving forward.
I think, so for one, you'd change as a team. You'd end up being like a three wide receiver team all the time. Some of the rushing issues and concerns wouldn't be as much of a concern as they were this year because you could just run from spread all the time. So I'm intrigued by that. I do think that one thing about last season is that I've really had to fight from getting ahead of myself and thinking like the same mistake that I think a lot of us made with the Jaguars last year.
Fair.
Was like, wow, look at the Jaguars made this push at the end of the season, make the playoffs. Like
Super Bowl contender.
Just extrapolate it right up into Super Bowl contender. And then they ended up taking a step back. Like the Texans still have holes at spots and they still have to fix this running game. And I just, there's too many, like, this is not a situation yet where I think you can just trade for a cherry on top to really push you through to becoming a Super Bowl contender. I think it's very much still a work in progress and they've got a tougher schedule this year. So, and then the other part is, you know, obviously Justin Jefferson doesn't have total control in who he gets traded to, but with a guy like that, usually teams don't want to trade for him unless he wants to come here. I don't know if Justin Jefferson, even though he might he'd get the huge contract and everything, like, does any receiver really want to go to a place where there's already an established one and two and potentially take away targets from you? Because, like, yeah, he had Adam Thielen opposite of him, but it wasn't Adam Thielen in his prime. Like, what, KJ Osborne was like the third option at receiver a couple years ago when he was so prolific. So I just wonder if
well, how high are people on Nico Collins? Because I've always been a fan of Nico Collins. He took a big step this year. But if you get Justin Jefferson, clearly Jefferson's still the one, and Nico Collins is the two. And it's a strong two.
Yeah, and Nico Collins also, you know, he'd be coming up on the last year of his contract, too. So if you got Justin Jefferson, oh boy,
Collins probably
into it. Yeah, Justin Jefferson can stick around. Collins could go get paid elsewhere. Right, I mean, there's just so few people that are, oh. No, I can't. Look, their big splurge was with Will Anderson. The Will Anderson trade was like a gutsy, ballsy. Like, they spent way too much for Will Anderson.
And it worked.
And it worked out, yeah. Like, take that. Take your money. Just take your $500,000 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and call it a day. Like, you just, that's good enough. We don't need to double down on like another extreme risk while also, because you got to remember too, the Texans had a surplus of draft picks because of the Deshaun Watson trade. Where now we're sitting with like normal people with a normal amount of draft picks. So I got the price is too steep, conceivably. For me.
Wow. How about that? He is Seth Payne. You can listen to him mornings on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, along with Sean Pendergast. Seth, appreciate the time as always.
Yeah. I just turned my nose up to Justin Jefferson. I got to go think about this. I'm going to go drink.
Go take a bath. All right. Clean yourself off after that ridiculous take. There he is, Seth Payne, joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Always love when he joins us. It's amazing how many people in H-Town have been kind of pushing back at my take. I'm trying to give you Justin Jefferson. I don't think they're in a good position. I don't think you're in a position, if you're a Texans fan, to say no to that. It's almost like Texans fans are afraid to really be going all in. Are you all in? Or are you Skip Bayless all in, comma, my ass? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car on Carvana first.
Ooh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh. I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
And this portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. All righty. Adam Schefter. Another quarterback trade. The Washington Commanders are sending last year's starter Sam Howell to the Seattle Seahawks in a pick swap, per sources. The Seahawks will receive Howell and a fourth-round pick, 102 overall, and a sixth-round pick, 179 overall. And the Commanders receive a third-round pick at number 78 overall and a fifth-round pick of 152 overall. So there is the breaking news. I have two reactions to this. Another one bites the dust for Justin Fields, because I threw out there yesterday maybe a dark horse candidate for Justin Fields would be the Seattle Seahawks. You have DK Metcalf, you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you have Tyler Lockett on a renegotiated deal, and you still have Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. If Geno Smith isn't the guy, or if he shows this season that there's a downward stretch or a downward run, or even if he gets hurt, you know, that's a prime opportunity for one Justin Fields to step in and take over. But now you could cross them off, because even though you're swapping a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, that's still pretty sizable in the like nerdy NFL draft world for the Seahawks to be parting ways with a third and a fifth, even though they're getting back a fourth and a sixth. It's still somewhat sizable for just a backup quarterback. So what the Seahawks are telling you is that we'd rather go out there and trade for Sam Howell than trade for Justin Fields to be that maybe next guy or be the QB2 behind Geno Smith for the insurance if it doesn't work out. So you could cross the Seahawks off the board for Justin Fields. And I think now what it comes down to is that it's really the Raiders are bust for Justin Fields. Like, if we're looking for a road to potentially start or even potentially play this year, the Raiders are really only the last team standing. And you go to the Raiders, all right, you're a shoo-in to be the starting quarterback next year. Like, Gardner Minshew isn't starting over Justin Fields. Aiden O'Connell isn't starting over Justin Fields. Now, you have that whole relationship and the uncertainty of where that relationship is with Luke Getsy and Justin Fields. I still think it's the best course of action, though, for the Raiders to give what? Like, if Sam Howell's going for a 3 and a 5 and the Seahawks ended up getting a 4 and a 6 with that for having to give up a 3rd and a 5 plus Howell, Justin Fields ain't going for a 2. The only way Justin Fields is going for a second-round pick, and maybe this behooves the Bears to approach it this way, you hold on to him, and you wait for the summer for someone to go down, like what happened with Teddy Bridgewater all those years ago, where then the Vikings ended up giving a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, which is a wild statement to say. Or you wait until the season happens, and look at the litany of injuries that we had last year. There were so many quarterbacks that were injured last year. And the price could go up for Fields, because it's right now in the toilet, it feels like. The price could go up for Fields, and you could get something of value back for him when there is more of a demand and need for him. Samter, it's kind of funny now looking back at it, because there was a big push in like November, and I was a part of it, where it was like, okay, maybe it does make sense to keep Justin Fields and you trade the number one pick. And even last week, RG3 was on this show, and he was saying the Bears should keep Fields and trade the number one pick. You know, Eric Eager, he was on this show, said that 2 weeks ago. Like, that's been a popular take still from a lot of people. But maybe how we evaluate Justin Fields and his potential, it's not maybe. It's definitely different than how the NFL evaluates him. Because we really are only, what, let's say 2 or 3 days into this offseason free agency trade cycle, where things really do pick up with Monday with the legal tampering window that does open, and now Wednesday with the new league year starts. And look how many teams have already made moves for potentially being their starter that were in play for Justin Fields, or even the backup option now. This is a scenario, like Indy was thrown out there maybe for Justin Fields to be a backup, but the Anthony Richardson uncertainty, Joe Flacco signs there. So this is now a scenario and a situation like the Cardinals, if maybe they were in play to be a backup for Justin Fields. They made a move today to trade for Desmond Ridder. all these other teams are making moves, not only to solidify their number one quarterback position, but there's only a handful of teams that may have been interested in Fields for number one, but even now, they're number two. And, like, you look at the Commanders, they're going to draft the quarterback second overall. They brought in Marcus Mariota. Like, Fields isn't even going to, couldn't even be the backup right now for the Commanders. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather Fields than Mariota, but they've already made the move to bring in Marcus Mariota. So the longer this goes on, and it hasn't even been open for that long of a time, the NFL is telling you the potential that a lot of us are selling you on what Justin Fields can be. A lot of the talent evaluators don't see the potential and the upside that most of us do see. It's kind of a wild scenario here.
And for the Bears standpoint, I wonder if, you know, we've talked, like you said, we talked about potentially keeping Fields versus Caleb. I wonder if it's more about Caleb Williams being that enticing or them just giving up on Fields. I'm assuming after the reaction we're seeing around the league from all these teams that it's probably more the latter. That, yes, it's probably excitement about Caleb Williams, but it seems like nobody is sold on Justin Fields. Maybe the asking price is too high, right? If you can get Sam Howell for a fourth or fifth round pick. Desmond Ridder went to the Cardinals and the Cardinals sent over Rondale Moore, who was a second-round draft pick a couple years ago as well. So it seems like maybe the asking price is too high.
The Commanders just got rid of Sam Howell. And the Seahawks ended up getting Sam Howell, a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. The Commanders got back a third and a fifth. So, like, just a two straight up by that isn't going to be for Justin Fields. Like, the Seahawks could have used Justin Fields. And they just said, okay, we'd rather have Howell get a fourth and a sixth and give up a third and a fifth. So right now I would say if the Bears are asking for a second for Fields, I don't think you're getting a second. I think right now you start with it being a three and maybe there's some conditions on it. But right now Justin Fields is not getting traded where we currently sit for anything better than a third round pick. And still then right now, that may be too rich because, like, let's say the Raiders want him and the Raiders say, okay, we're going to be fine giving you a third round pick. Who else is interested right now? Like, maybe you could get him for a fourth round pick. And then that conversation turns into, is it better to just keep him on the roster and store him on the roster and be your backup in case Williams gets hurt or somebody else gets hurt, where then there's more of a demand? Because there's not a demand right now for Justin Fields to be a starting quarterback in this league. And the only team that I could see maybe there's a demand is for the Raiders. But outside of that, like, who else is bringing him in to start? Like, I'll go through all the teams right now. Bills aren't. Dolphins aren't. The Jets aren't. Maybe the Patriots, but I got to think they're drafting a quarterback at three, so you probably eliminate that. And they just brought in Jacoby Brissett, so I don't think they're in for Justin Fields now. Ravens, no. Browns, no. Steelers, no. Bengals, no. Texans, Jaguars, Colts, no, no, no. Tennessee's going with Will Levis. Kansas City, obviously, no. Raiders, potentially. Broncos, maybe in play. The Broncos right now, I don't really have a quarterback. Chargers, no. Cowboys, no. Eagles, no. Giants, I guess potentially, but I think they're going to get a quarterback in the draft, and they just signed Drew Lock the other day. Commanders, no. Lions, no. Green Bay, no. Minnesota, still an option, but they just brought in Sam Darnold. I think they're going to make a move in the draft. Tampa, no. Saints, no. Falcons, no. Panthers, no. And the NFC West, it's a no, 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 no. Like, you go through this right now. If you want to do, like, even being generous to Fields, teams that we could see in play to maybe start for this upcoming season, it's Minnesota if they can't get a quarterback. The Giants if they can't get a quarterback in the draft. The Raiders if they can't get a quarterback in the draft. The Patriots if they don't take a quarterback in the draft. And even then, so I still think they're starting Jacoby Brissett. Those are four teams. And I had to stretch to get to four teams. This really feels like it's the Raiders or it's QB2 somewhere else or you're staying in Chicago until somebody gets hurt. And it's stunning how active of a conversation that's been and how the NFL teams don't want to jump and bite at the opportunity to go try to save Justin Fields' career. He's not getting the earliest he will get traded is after the first round to see how those dominoes fall. And I don't know how many teams are going to be active. And this market, it is dead. It is silent right now. And we're trying to reach. We have to reach to try to make a market for Justin Fields. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio when we return with the news brief. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Let's start it out with Cam Newton, who is on his own 4th and 1 podcast, and he commented on the Kirk Cousins lucrative contract.
He only had one playoff win.
I was going to ask you, what are you playing the game for?
In 12 years. Man, he's been breaking the bank. But it's like a safe pick. I feel like Atlanta Falcons was trying to go find a Matt Ryan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
they were trying to scratch that itch.
I think he's good enough to put them in position to win.
Okay.
So it ain't just like it's a trash acquisition. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of them situations. Nah, he's coming off of a
Achilles.
I can't make it about me. But if I were to make it about me, it's like, yo, I had Lance Frank injury. Not as bad as an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
But damn, who is your agent?
Here's where I struggle with Cam. I think his analysis about Kirk isn't wrong. when he says it's a safe move and he's a good quarterback. But when he makes it about himself and he talks about his injuries and then how teams didn't want to give him a shot, he's basically like saying, yeah, I could still be better the way that I take this than what Kirk would be in Atlanta. And weren't the Falcons the one team he threw out there where he's like, oh, I would still want to play for them, or I would still play for them a few weeks ago? So I don't think, Santer, that Cam is in a part yet where he can accept that he's not going to be playing football anymore. And I'm not saying that, like, yeah, you should be overly excited about $108 million to Kirk Cousins, but I think it was the best option that was out there for the Atlanta Falcons. You pay what the market is. But I bet you if you ask Cam, who gives the Falcons a better chance to win? Is it Kirk Cousins or is it Cam? He would say that it's himself. And that, to me, is laughable in the year of 2024. Like, if this was 2010, this was 2011, yeah, it's not even a conversation. But also, did you take that at all as, like, a dig at Matt Ryan? When he was, like, they were trying to find their next Matt Ryan. Like, was that a slight? Because Matt Ryan won an MVP, got to a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl. Cam won an MVP, got to a Super Bowl, lost to a Super Bowl. So they're two totally different players. But it kind of felt like that was a little shade at Matt Ryan, too.
I'll be honest. I heard it. I didn't hear shade at Matt Ryan, not to go this whatever, but Cam likes to bring out different kinds of theories. Mm-hmm. And to me, it almost sounded like it was a...
Why didn't they pick me? That was the energy I felt.
I don't
want to
be that guy because I'm not normally that guy. It sounded racial to me. They wanted like their safe white quarterback. Is kind of how it sounded to me. It was like, oh,
I didn't even think about it that
way. They just wanted their Matt Ryan. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, they were kind of like nodding, and there was something there more than just Matt. I don't think it had anything to do with Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins. There was something there that he was implying, and that's what I think he was implying, but there may have been something else that I'm missing.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. Like,
I didn't take it that way, but you're entitled to that opinion.
At the end of the day, man, like you said, forget about 2010, but even like 3 or 4 years ago, like maybe a year or two removed from the Patriots, when he was like, listen, I can still play. Fine. Dude, you've been out of the league for like 3 or 4 years. Nobody wants you. You sucked when you were here. Give it up. Now it's getting sad. Before it was like, he's confident. Good for you. He thinks he can still play. Now it's sad. Now it's pathetic. Dude, shut up. You're not getting back into the league. You're not playing. Kirk Cousins is better than you, and it's not even a question.
Yeah, right now, like career-wise, you know, from an individual apex, Cam was better at, you know, in a few
an
seasons
individual
than
apex,
Kirk's was.
Yes, but his apex was much shorter.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, Cam had the MVP. Cam had the Super Bowl loss.
15-1.
Kirk Cousins hasn't done any of that stuff, but Kirk Cousins, over his career, has been a better quarterback than Cam Newton, especially right now.
Wait, over the course of his career? So define what you mean by that. You're saying the longevity?
Longevity and just consistently year in, year out.
Longevity, he's been good. He's never been great like Cam was.
If you were a GM and you could choose the career of Cam Newton or the career of Kirk Cousins, I would probably go with the career of Kirk Cousins because it's longer.
I would go Cam. You want to know why? The reason why I would go Cam is because at least I got to a Super Bowl. At least I was able to be a 15-1 team and get to a Super Bowl. I get what you're saying, but to wrap this up and then move on to the next one, I was a big fan of Cam. I still am. I have a Cam t-shirt. Like, I was kind of fired up when Cam joined the Patriots, but then I watched Cam play. Cam stunk with the Patriots. He was outside of the Seattle game. He stunk with the Patriots. Anyway, let's move it on. Let's go to Kirk Cousins on why he chose the Atlanta Falcons.
In Minnesota, it was trending over the last couple off seasons to be in somewhat year to year. And as we talked with Atlanta, it felt like this was a place where, you know, if I play at the level I expect to play, that I can retire a Falcon. And that was something that really excited me. And that's certainly the goal. And you got to earn the right to do that. But that was exciting to feel like I could get that opportunity here.
All righty, let's move it to Saquon Barkley. You have the Falcons are getting investigated for tampering with Kirk Cousins. The Eagles are getting investigated for tampering with Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley on his former college coach James Franklin's comments that led to the whole tampering investigation.
Coach Franklin, I think he kind of misinterpreted it. The truth was the sell pitch to Penn State. How many Penn State fans are Philadelphia Eagles fans? But that was through my agent, and my agent told me that, so... It happens, and I'm going to let the Philly in on that.
So in this stupid rules that are out there and that legal tampering period, the player, unless he represents himself, can't talk directly to the team. The agent could only talk to the executives that are pursuing the client. I don't like the rule. I have no problem with this. And maybe there will be a punitive action, but I don't think there should be one. Let's go to Greg Williams, the former defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, the former interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was all fired up over Baker Mayfield getting his money with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was on the Come Get Some show. And Greg Williams made a big, bold claim about his time in Cleveland and what would have happened if they kept Baker and him together.
I'm so happy. He's one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. I believe with all my heart we could have won a championship with mm-hmm. him had I stayed at Cleveland instead of heading out. And I'm so proud of how he has proven himself time after time after time, from high school to college, college to the NFL, and now within the NFL. Hey, come get some, Bake. I'm very happy for him.
Does anyone believe that Baker Mayfield with Greg Williams and the Cleveland Browns could have delivered that franchise a world championship? Let's just go around the room real quickly to kind of appease myself here. Stu?
No.
Samter?
100% champions all the way, raising the Lombardi Trophy.
All right, serious Samter, not trolling Samter?
No, come on. I love Baker, but he's not a Super Bowl quarterback.
They could have been a consistent playoff team because in that, I think it was the 2020 season, they made the playoffs, and then, you know, Greg Williams wasn't there, and then the following year he gets hurt. And it was, okay, how much of it was the injury? How much of it was the, you know, Baker just not being that good? Then they get rid of him. They bring in Deshaun Watson. The rest is history. I think if they would have kept Greg Williams as the head coach, there would have been some good moments. There would have been some bad moments. If you kept Baker as the quarterback, would have been some good moments. Could have been bad moments. But they could have consistently been like a 10-win team, let's just say. All righty. Let's go to Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Baltimore Ravens. So Jason Lockenfor, the longtime NFL reporter, now has a talk show, Afternoon Drive, in the Baltimore area. He was saying that the Ravens already had conversations with the 49ers about a potential Deebo Samuel trade. Most of the time with the 49ers, the conversation has been maybe a Brandon Ayuk trade. But here was Eric DaCosta, I guess it was at the Derrick Henry introductory press conference, getting asked about the JLC report about him reportedly having a conversation with the 49ers about a Deebo trade.
Is there anything on the receiver front? I mean, there's a report you may be looking for Deebo Samuel or another veteran. Can you comment on where you're at there?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, that specific report was probably, I read the Lorax last week at a local elementary school, and I would probably put that report that similar to that.
So that's a big time confirmation that it did not happen. I think if there was any truth to that, I think he would just simply say, I can't talk about players that are under contract with other teams. But since he went to the Lorax quote, that's just making fun of the report from someone that I like in Jason Lockenfor. What's the best childhood book, by the way, Samter? I know that you have a 14-month-old, so what have you been reading?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about my favorite childhood, it's Green Eggs and Ham by far. But if we're talking about her, it's, Guess How Much I Love You. Which is a book about...
Your wife probably reads that, not you,
Little
right?
Nut Brown Hair, and I Love You to the Moon and Back. And you've heard the phrase, I Love You to the Moon and Back. Mm-hmm. It originated from this children's book, so we've been reading it to her since the day she was born.
When I was a baby, or my mom tells me when I was a youngster, I always liked Good Night Moon. So I was so fired up to read Good Night Moon to my niece, and I read the book Good Night Moon to my niece, and then I quickly closed the book and said, wow, that book sucks. It was overrated. How did I enjoy that as a kid? Also, if you give a mouse a cookie, he wants a glass of milk, is also a very good book. But yeah, I used to be a fan of Goodnight Moon, but now I'm starting to think that Goodnight Moon is overrated. Goodnight Moon may be like Justin Fields of quarterbacks. At one point, you thought it was really damn good and special, but then as time goes on, you're like, just not that dude, not that book. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
We've seen a lot of change in the past 20 years, but two decades later, Mountain Dew Baja Blast is still a fan favorite, bringing you the bold tropical lime flavor that folks can't get enough of. It takes you back to a sunny day at the beach with every delicious sip. And don't you want that feeling all the time? Well, 2024 is the year. In celebration of their 20th Baja-versary, you can sip Baja Blast all year long. So pick up a Baja Blast wherever you are. In stores now.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.